Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Tuesday, the 24th of November, recording at 9:18 p.m., and that's Greenwich Mean Time. Now, first, a quick look at the highlights here today. In terms of global stock markets, the main drama was in China, where we had some quite big downside key day reversals on stories that the main banks were going to need to come to the market with some secondary offerings to bump up their cash levels. Owen has a feature on that today. Elsewhere, the other Asian stock markets were mostly a little bit easier. Hong Kong, perhaps most affected by China, down, but only down 1.5%. The European stock market indices showed small losses. Wall Street showed minuscule losses and closed well off the lows of the day. Brazil is one of the few stock markets that's clearly up today, although less than 1%. Long-dated government bonds are firm. The U.S. dollar is virtually unchanged, down a fraction. Euro dollar is currently unchanged, although on the higher side of the day's range at 149.62. Precious metals saw a little bit of profit taking, but gold, for instance, closed nearly $10.50 up off the low and up 350 on the day. It's back up to 1169.50. I think nobody picked up my I'll claim it was an intentional error yesterday. Owen said that I had said twice that gold was up 11,069. Wishful thinking, perhaps. No doubt. Now, elsewhere in this review, silver, again, these precious metals actually were steady in the morning and then sold off midday and early afternoon, and then reduced the decline. But spot silver is back up to 1857, and I also see that platinum, one of the weaker ones today, closed. excuse me, at 1,454. And the low was down $14 lower on the day. Sorry for that delay. Industrial metals, slight declines. Crude oil, also softer in here today. And that price, 76.06. So that's a little bit further dip than we had seen recently. And that's pretty much it, although I see lumber was steady. It's been in form quite recently. Grains and beans are quiet. Okay, what's going on here overall? Well, as far as stock markets are concerned, I think this is still what I would classify as a corrective phase, although it's been a very steady corrective phase overall. You remember, perhaps that, and I'll say for the benefit of new subscribers who may not have heard those earlier audios, that we had been saying from really August onwards that we should be wary of a reaction and consolidation phase as we lived through, as investors around the globe lived through the first anniversary of last year's meltdown. And I remember the darkest days, for the most part, were in October of last year. We were not looking for anything more serious than a stock market correction, which in our jingo is a bigger reaction. A correction would be perhaps a pullback towards the 200-day moving average, which represents the medium-term mean, technically. And we weren't looking for anything worse than that and felt it would be a buying opportunity if we saw that. We felt that some stock markets would be firmer. And indeed, a good many stock markets, a good many of the leading stock markets, or bigger cap stock markets, have been firmer and stayed well above the 200-day moving averages. There are exceptions. An earlier exception was China, which pulled back in late July and early August. But didn't quite touch the 200-day moving average, and then rallied back within sight of its high before today's downside key day reversals on supply fears. And supply fears really are something that I've mentioned before with China. That they have tended to hold up performance relative to some of the other Asian or emerging market stock markets generally, because China has had so many state-owned industries. So let's face it, they were all state-owned, and not all that long ago, not all that many decades ago, and then have been sort of floated one by one. And so there is that new supply that comes onto the market. It gets absorbed, and I have no doubt will continue to be absorbed. We have to watch any dramatic signal like a big key day reversal as we saw today. But if that does not have any follow through tomorrow, and I don't know whether it will or won't, but if it does not have any follow through tomorrow, then I would say we're unlikely to see more than a little consolidation beneath the former high before the medium-term upward trend is resumed. If we do get downside follow-through tomorrow, then I would think that we have at least a few weeks more ranging in the in prior support, again, before the overall upward trend is resumed. China remains a market that I like a lot, and any pullback I would tend to regard as a buying opportunity. Now, why are stock markets so steady and still a number of them well above their 200-day moving averages, and what are the implications of that? Well, I think one of the reasons why many of the more important markets are so steady. Again, there are exceptions. Japan is an exception, and there are laggards among smaller emerging markets, such as the Middle Eastern exchanges, North African exchanges, a few of the more hard-pressed Eastern European exchanges. But for the most part, stock markets and global stock market indices, and I'll post a couple of those this evening, remain remarkably steady. And the main factor behind that, I think, is unquestionably the massive amount of liquidity that's been provided by quantitative easing. It's not a new story, but as well known as it is a story that hasn't fully been taken on board by a lot of investors, partly because they've never seen it before. None of us have ever seen it before. And I've often described the reflationary efforts that we have seen all around the globe as the greatest in human history. And there's no hyperbole there. And they are absolutely massive by any other historic measure. So that has really helped to keep stock markets firm overall. But we don't want to be complacent, because we know that a stock market trend is determined by liquidity. The more liquidity you have in the system, the more favorable it tends to be for stock markets. But we also have to have sentiment, because people don't have to put that money into stock markets. So if they're frightened away for whatever reason, and I can't think of that many reasons right now why that might happen, but supply could be a factor. We could have perhaps exaggerated fears of an end to the quantitative easing. There could be some sort of geopolitical event that is currently unknown or unexpected, something like that. I'm not forecasting that. I don't think it'll happen. Those would be outliers, but it would, if something like that did come along and affect sentiment, then stock markets would be more vulnerable. But in terms of the technical picture, we would see it fairly quickly. And I think first we would get a number of stock markets, not just China today on a news story regarding secondary offerings, but we would get a number of quite significant downward dynamics. We would also see the November and October lows taken out. Now, most of the important stock markets are trading well above those October and November lows, so they've got some breathing space. So we would see that coming, and that would suggest a deeper correction towards the mean. And the mean, I of course am referring to, by the mean, I'm referring to the rising 200-day moving average. Now, having said that we're still in a corrective phase and that markets are remarkably steady during this pause, we may just see additional sideways ranging with the strongest of stock markets just nudging a little higher regardless of the overall corrective process taking place. Either way, I think what we're seeing is healthy technically. Inevitably, if stock markets have been trending upwards and they start ranging sideways, that makes some people a little more nervous. I wouldn't be too nervous about it because this is a favorable period seasonally, and my three canaries that I keep referring to are all quite favorable. The dollar is not collapsing, long-dated government bond yields are certainly not surging higher, and the oil price is not spiking higher. So really there are no inflation pressures in there or extreme currency moves threatening at the moment to warrant a dramatic change in sentiment. So I think it would almost certainly take a black swan event to cause a significant correction in the short term, but I'm hopefully not being too optimistic in that assessment overall. Basically, everything that we have seen technically is consistent, has been consistent, and remains consistent with an ongoing bull market, which has just paused for a while. What about those long-dated government bonds? Could they be so strong that they are signaling that growth is going to peter out? Well, some people have been saying that recently, but you know, they aren't all that strong. They're just ranging, bond prices ranging with a slight upward bias. In other words, long-dated government bond yields are mostly range-bound, but with a very, very slight overall downward bias. I think most of that is attributable to the ongoing quantitative easing that we have at this time. I'm also quite optimistic that the fourth quarter GDP figures and the first quarter of next year GDP figures will be quite strong, although people will be quick to point out that those are year-on-year comparisons, and it was the economic meltdown in the fourth quarter of last year and the first quarter of this year that will make the figures, well, that will flatter the gains that we actually see. But when it's all said and done, we have a global economy that is being led by China and India, and the emerging markets, the Asian emerging markets, and South American emerging markets generally, and that the recessions in the West have not been anywhere near as severe as was originally feared by so many people back in October and even March of last year, and also March of this year, when people were talking about depressions. A severe recession, absolutely, it's a severe recession, but the policies that have been implemented and the data that we are seeing suggests that one economy after another is pulling out of this is pulling out of this recession. So again, that's a favorable background. The economic background is not so strong that we have to worry about a clampdown in terms of monetary policy, in terms of accommodative monetary policy. And stock markets historically tend to like this type of environment. So the worst I expect, short of a geopolitical event that nobody's expecting today, and the worst that I would expect would be a dull period where markets just pause in a longer consolidation than we have seen since those March lows. Okay, moving on. What about the precious metals sector? Well, it's very good action. It's remarkably steady action by gold. At some point, gold will see a bit more of a pullback and consolidation, and no doubt it will take the other precious metals with it when that happens. But at this stage of the cycle, gold does not look more than short-term, slightly overbought. And more importantly, the large underlying trading range that launched the upward break in September. Now, that can still sustain additional gains, and additional gains are most definitely what we expect. My outlook for gold, as you may recall, is that I said once we got the breakout in September, that if it just conformed to the moves that we had seen in previous cycles, and I'm talking about those cycles commencing in September 2005 and September 2007, that we would see at least a $300 move on the upside from 1,000, so taking gold bullion up to $1,300, and again we're $1,169 right now. Now remember, at least the $1,300 level, and we could easily exceed that. But again, we want to monitor it every day at a time, and I've mentioned those figures because that's what we saw following the previous breakouts, and the medium-term trend has been remarkably consistent, as you know. I think that palladium and platinum and silver will certainly follow gold higher, and at some stage might even take over the running, as we've seen in previous cycles. They all look very steady technically. And at the moment, just looks as if just no more than a narrow consolidation is actually taking place. For the precious metals to see a bigger reaction and consolidation, I think we would have to see the same factors that have troubled the sector in the not too distant past, and that would be a sharper sell-off in stock markets for whatever reason, and a sharper rally in the US dollar for whatever reason. Meanwhile, the US dollar continues to range over the very short term and within a medium-term downtrend overall. I don't see dynamics sufficient to reverse the dollar's medium-term downtrend at this stage, so my best guess is that this sideways ranging activity will see limited upside for the dollar and will eventually be resolved by somewhat lower trading, leading to a test of those lows that we had seen back, I think it was between sort of June and July, maybe into early August of last year. And I think that pretty much covers the important bases that I wanted to discuss with you this evening. Now, I will not be in the office tomorrow. I need to be away for one day, but I will be back on Thursday. Meanwhile, all the very best to all of you.